Ladies and gentlemen, I've got the twins with me. I can say twins now, Richard and Adam, because they look exactly alike. Now they've changed shape. How are you, boys?
We're very well, Pete. How are you?
It's I'd forgotten how butch those voices sound.
Just one of the voices.
I'm going to have to put it on now.
What do you mean, just one of the voices?
Yeah, me as well, Pete. Me
take
as well.
The notice of him. So let's talk about the weight.
I know, it's only me who's changed shape, Pete, really. Richard doesn't change. He's always stayed at one weight, you see, so it's always been hard for me having him next to me because he always makes me look so much bigger, which is why I really needed to lose weight. But, I mean, I'm at a weight now, which I'm really happy with, and it was hard work because at first, I mean, I think I dropped a little bit too low and went a bit strict with the dieting, and I think I went to about 10 stone, whereas now I've got, like, a steady diet and stuff. I mean, I eat what I want in a sense, but I always keep it balanced and I just go to the gym every day and it's the only way I've found to keep it off me. Yeah. I mean, everything I used to try with dieting and stuff, it never worked because I'd always end up losing it, shed loads of weight like 2 stone, and it would always, no matter what, go back on. And as long as now I go to the gym and just keep going, it seems to stay at a steady weight. I mean, and it's scary because it does go on me so easy and it falls off quickly, which is good.
It is weird that you say it because I've got a couple of pals. The only way they deal with it is the gym.
Yeah,
and people don't understand. I mean, well, you don't really understand, do you? Because you don't have a weight problem.
No, it's like, I mean, I've always tried to gain weight and I've been going to the gym like 4 or 5 days a week and I don't see any difference. I think Adam said a lot of it's to do with like, it's a lot of it's to do with the eating things. And I have 3 meals a day, but I think it's about eating in between. And if you're someone like me that struggles to put weight on, people say, you know, you have to have all these supplements and you have to eat 5-6 meals a day. But I'm just not the kind of person that can eat that much food in one go.
You get stuffed, don't you?
I do, and I'm done for. Then Adam says I start leaning forward and that's the end, isn't it?
We've got a new album out, but let's tell the story. Let's remind everybody who Richard and Adam are.
Yeah, back from...
How long?
It's okay. Been 2013 we were on the show, yeah, so it's scary, isn't it?
And of course the show's being done now as we speak.
Yeah,
so tell auditions. Us the story, how it happened. Remind us.
Yeah, it started really for us both when we entered a competition called North Wales Has Got Talent, which got me and Richard together. And then we went for Britain's Got Talent because we thought it would just be a great platform for us to be able to get on. And like, we love singing together and it was just a dream come true when Britain's Got Talent accepted us. And I mean, we auditioned, it was down in the tent, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. In Belvale, is it in Liverpool?
It is, yeah.
Belvale in Liverpool, in the Morrisons. There was a little tent set up in the car park and Richard and myself went in for a last minute audition. And the man in there, we never forget, he always said to us, we're not doing these auditions again, lads. It's last minute auditions. We never have anyone be successful. Go in and have a go. And in we went, sang a few bars of O Sole Mio, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And then from there on, we were sitting in the cinema, weren't we, watching Iron Man, I think it was. And a phone call came through and it was Britain's Got Talent saying we'd like to come down to Birmingham. After Birmingham we went, sang in front of the judges with an absolutely like memorable moment of an amazing applause from the audience, and the judges were all thrilled with us. And then the process started, didn't it? And we went through all the rounds and by some miracle we were getting through every single round, and it was just more and more unbelievable until we got to the point where obviously Simon Cowell was egged, which is something that's always stuck with us from this day till the next. I never go into Asda and look at a box of eggs the same way ever again.
Let me stop you there. Explain about the egging, because of course people who have never seen the
course
wouldn't know.
Well, it was basically from finding out afterwards that there was a girl on there that was really annoyed with Simon Cowell because she was in, I think, a string quartet in Britain's Got Talent at one point and they didn't get through the auditions. And a lot of artists, when they're performing live on TV, have musicians that mime to the songs that have been recorded in the studio prior. And I think she took the hump not just over not getting through on Britain's Got Talent, but also the fact that she was having to mime as a sort of professional musician. And that's what spurred it on. Admittedly, she could have done it before or after the performance rather than smack in the middle. But, you know, she had her reasons and she did put an apology out in the papers, didn't she? And, yeah, we haven't heard much of it since, have we, apart from, like, every time we speak to someone.
it was interesting because it will stay, it's a piece of history now. So it's not just your audition, because you two weren't fazed by it, which was fabulous and it showed your professionalism. All I remember when I first knew about you was when you came on that stage. 2 good-looking lads, and then these voices came from nowhere, and it was flabbergasting. And then I made it my business to get to know you. Now I'm delighted to say I'm friends with you and the family. Looking back, do you think your nan was a fly in the ointment? I hope she's listening. I had to. No, she was amazing, wasn't she? Is your greatest fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, it was part of the story, wasn't it?
She is. Nan's always, she's always been the biggest fan of us. And when they called us Britain's Got Talent, they obviously like to go have a storyline to go with. And we were saying, well, we've got our nan who's always like got us into classical singing. And it's true. Like, we always listen to pop music when we were kids because our eldest brother, Daniel, has always been into Michael Bublé and things. So we always tried to get us into that. And Nan was like, no, you need to listen to the classical music, like Pavarotti and things. And we listened and we did enjoy it. And I remember we were in Birmingham where she used to live. She now lives literally next door to us in Wales. But we were down in Birmingham. And she put them on and we were singing along to it. And she was the one who believed in us, really, because she said, lads, you've got voices there. And at the time, the pair of us didn't think we did we? It was just like...
No, we didn't at all.
You started singing it really, what, like properly around what, age 18?
18, yeah, something like that.
Well, it must point out, your brother's got a beautiful voice as well. As your dad.
Yeah, I know, we get dad always singing with us, don't we?
On the tour, we try and get
It's funny though, isn't it? Like, dad's got a classical voice like me and you, but Daniel's is completely different, isn't
Completely the opposite. It's bizarre, really bizarre, yeah.
Does mum sing at all, by the way?
She does, yeah. They sing Peaches and Herbs, don't they, Reunited?
Yeah, they do.
And like, we've got a few videos of her. She's not bad, is she?
Well, you went to a karaoke recently, didn't you? You were at a venue or something like that. There was karaoke on, and mum and dad got up, and someone was sitting next to Adam going, they're a plant for tonight. I said to mum, I said, hey, mum, it's coming on. People think you're a plant.
Looking back at how it's happened, by the way, have you had any lessons since then, singing lessons?
Yeah, we've started singing lessons now, haven't we, with they're called David and Anne. They're in Wrexham, aren't they?
Wrexham, yeah.
And Anne's like a professional opera singer, and it's honestly crazy how much they've helped us, isn't it?
It is.
How does it help?
Well, it's one of them things with singing. One of the most important things I think David said to me, which sort of stirred the process of thinking, is he said to me, you've got to think about a newborn baby being able to cry and cry and cry and never lose their voice. You never hear a baby lose their voice when they're crying. And he said it's because they don't let their mind get in the way of everything else to do with your voice. You've got to be completely relaxed and let it be completely natural. And when it's not natural and you start tightening up and you start putting your thoughts into it, is when things start getting really tight and you start singing in the wrong way. I mean, a lot of people, when they come and sing a high note, you're instantly tense up, ready for it. And that was the most important thing, I think, about singing lessons for me and you, is to make sure we could do it for as long as possible. Because, I mean, David always says, you know, when you're younger, your muscles can always go back to where they were until you start getting to your 30s, and then things start staying the way they are if you've done the wrong thing for too long. So that was quite important for us, wasn't it? And David's been helping us no end with trying to get it on top form, really.
So you really have helped.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. I mean, I used to struggle with like breathing a lot, and I couldn't. I mean, Richard's always had like a great natural ability for just singing, haven't you? And
thanks.
You have. It's true. And for me, it's not been hard because I've always had a natural voice there. But I mean, with breathing and things, I've always struggled a bit. But since going to him, he like tricks you into doing different things, and you don't think about it. And as long as you're not thinking about it, it's natural. It's such a strange thing. And now, when I'm on stage, I feel so confident over the song and what I want to do with it. Because thanks to them, without them too, we would have been lost, wouldn't we? Mm.
Do they become a crutch that you're frightened not to go and see them?
You are, definitely.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you come away from it. And I think what we've noticed is when we can sing, and I'm sure like most people and probably even ourselves wouldn't know the difference to too much extent in a live situation. But when you go back and you start singing songs, you start realising things, that you're slipping into bad habits a little bit again, which aren't necessarily noticed, you know, by the general public. But if you're a sort of professional singer, and say we ever did want to go into like more of the opera styles, it's something that's quite noticeable.
Do either of you struggle with sore throats or bad chests?
Well, talking of that, Pete, I had a bad experience recently. We did our Welsh tour, which was four dates just around our local area, because we did the UK tour, but we couldn't do as many dates, could we, in Wales, which was a bit of a pain because there was a lot of people that wanted to see us in our area. And I did the first two dates, no problem at all. We went to Llandudno, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Venue Cymru. I had a bit of a sore throat. It was going round. A few members of the family had it, and I thought, no, no, I'm all right. I did sound check. I was singing fine with the pianist. I was like, great. Got to about, I'd say about six, half six. And we were getting changed in the toilets. And I all of a sudden, I couldn't, like, project in talking. To Adam, I was going, I'm really panicking. My voice doesn't seem to want to come through. And it's probably like, you know, something in the way of something. Like I said, have a drink. Had a drink. I waited. I was like, no. It's still not come back. Never experienced anything like it in my whole life. And especially in professional singing.
You've never lost your voice, have you?
Never. And I just, as the minutes went on, it got worse and worse and worse. And Adam said to me, quick, you're going to have to try singing something. And I tried singing like a couple of lines of a song. And it was just the worst sound you've ever heard in your life.
You couldn't even impersonate it now, could you?
No, you couldn't. It was just nothing.
So did you have to cancel?
So I walked on stage. There's about 1,000 people in there.
Completely sold out it was, wasn't it?
I walked on stage and we just tried to sing the first song. And the sound engineer said Adam's decibel levels were at 10 and mine was at 0.1. And it was just cracking the whole way through.
He just looked at me on stage and went, oh, they can't do this. I went, oh, no.
I was trying, but I was praying with every ounce of my body that it was going to happen. But I think it was so obvious to the audience. And I said straight away, the best I could, I said, you know, sorry, guys, I'm not going to get through this. I've tried my best. And honestly, we would have given you notice, but it's been a really last-minute thing. And everyone stood up, didn't they, and clapped, which was amazing. So Adam did his little solo spot, and obviously Adam's girlfriend got up and did a few songs, and Dad did a couple of songs with you as well.
Yeah,
so they still had a good 45-minute show.
How many asked for the money back?
No.
Fab.
I know. I was panicking like mad.
No, that's fab, because now you've experienced it. I've gone in panto and walked in.
It's scary,
and nothing will come out. It's here. It's not there. It's here. And nobody can understand if they've never been through it. It's the frighteningest thing in the world.
It is. We always say, like, with an instrument, you can replace it, whereas with your voice, you can't. And when it's gone, it's gone.
And you can't do anything about it.
No.
So, the album. The new album is so different.
Yes.
I've had it blasting in my car. Tell us about the tracks and who put it together.
Well, we're really excited, really, because now we were with Psycho, and now we've moved over to Sony Classical, and it was a whole different feel when recording this new album. I mean, they took us, where was the place? Can you remember where we recorded?
It was not too far from London, was it?
No, it was, but it was so different. It was like a huge room, wasn't it, with huge ceilings, like a great acoustic in there, wasn't
it? It was like a concert hall, The first couple of albums were very contemporary in the way they recorded it. You're in a booth, you've got, you know, your headphones on, in a closed environment, and then they add all the digital things afterwards. And this time, after, you know, listening to some of our favourite singers that are very, very classical, I really wanted to get that sort of acoustic, natural feel that you get from a concert hall. So we sort of stress that to the record label Sony Classical, and obviously it's their specialty. And
the people who recorded the album was Pavarotti's sound engineer originally, which when Sony told us that, we were like, that's quids in there.
It
like,
was great. Amazing, yeah. So we had all Pavarotti's sound engineers they brought in, and we had a producer, her name was Anna Barry, and she did all the Royal Wedding TV sound production, and also all the songs and arrangements for William and Kate's wedding. She also worked with the three tenors various times and other like classical artists.
So you surrounded yourself with real professionals in that field.
Absolutely.
Now, who picked the songs? Because they're really unusual.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted some Welsh songs on this one, which it's hard for me and Richard, because we're like all the family are from Birmingham and things. We don't speak Welsh. So we learnt the Welsh language as best as we could for these few songs, didn't we? I mean,
we did.
It was probably the biggest challenge we've ever took on, isn't it, with singing. Italian and stuff is okay, but Welsh, it's so hard, isn't it? We were just like, it's to get in like the, and stuff like that, isn't it? Like,
yeah, there's different ways of pronouncing it, and we found that really hard. But in terms of the other songs, it's like we've chosen songs that that have had some sort of meaning to us over the last sort of few years of singing. Things like Our Walk With God, which is obviously a Mario Lanza classic, which has been an absolute, you know, concrete foundation in how we sing today. And then there's things like Climb Every Mountain, and I remember going to Nan's and we had 6 weeks solid of The Sound of Music. And then there's things like Shenandoah, which is a Bryn Terfel song. And Adams was sort of, I remember being shocked the first time he ever listened to Bryn, because he'd sort of realised that that was his sort of sound, that baritone sound.
We get to pick some of the songs on this album. So we've picked a few of ours, like we love Climb Every Mountain and Anthem and stuff like that, and they were great with that, and we got to put them on the album. So we were really thrilled about that, and we performed Climb Every Mountain, didn't we, on Children in Need this year?
Yeah, we did Children in Need, and we turned up in Venue Comedy, didn't we, in the arena side of it. And there was like a 200-piece kids choir, wasn't there?
Yeah.
That we were singing with. And we sang Climb Every Mountain there, didn't we? And also When You Believe, the Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston song.
Yeah.
We were quite keen to do that, weren't we? Because we sort of knew it.
Interesting you mentioned Mario Lanza, because you wouldn't remember him, would you, as children? Because,
no. He died.
I met him once.
Oh. Did you?
Yeah, he was managed in England by a man called Peter Pritchard, who was my manager many, many, many years ago. Only met him just to say hello to, but I was a great fan of his. And he was like a modern, he's like you two. He crossed the barriers as a classical singer. He wasn't a Pavarotti.
No, he wasn't.
He was a playboy and just like you two. But lots of women in his life, unlike you two, if the girlfriends are listening. But no, you know, it was a different style and I loved him.
That's what we love about him. He's American, and we love the way that, like Pavarotti and stuff, we love listening to him, but it's full blown, like you said, opera classical, whereas he switched over to the other side of it like we did, didn't he?
Yeah.
We loved like his American tone on all the English songs and stuff. Like to hear a classical voice as amazing as his on them type of songs was just, we love it, don't we?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Richard and Adam. They've got a brand new album out called Believe. Now, how many albums has it been now? Is it three or four?
Four now.
Number four.
Albums.
I know.
Now, you must be chuffed, because we read in the paper all the time about people getting dropped by the label. You're on a roll.
It's amazing. We are stunned by it. The amount of people who we meet in different shows and stuff, from Britain's Got Talent, X Factor, we meet them all the time, and they say, oh, we've just been dropped by Sony and stuff like that. And we think, it's amazing.
We've got another one coming out. I mean, it's fantastic, because they've got, like, you know, a huge amount of faith for us.
And I
think something we've realised definitely in the interest from talking to people and talking to the record label, it's important to sort of not get sort of carried away with the whole sort of process and starting to think to yourself, you know, you're this huge star and you get into that diva mode. Because I think not only did the record label pick up on that, but they don't like it. You know what I mean? They like you to be straight down the line, like to be yourself, because at the end of the day, they've got to sell a product, and you are that product, and they want you to be a down-to-earth, you know, nice, with bit of personality.
Richard, as an older man, I will say you've actually hit the nail completely and utterly on the head. I've been in this business 50 years now, and I've seen people come and go. You've actually hit the nail exactly on the head. That's why you're still here. That's why you've got four albums, because you're no trouble.
No.
You sell albums, you've got talent, but you're no trouble.
Yeah.
True,
and
yeah.
they, in this day and age, they don't need it anymore.
No, they don't.
They need it, unless you are a world superstar, they don't need it anymore. I think it's great. Your concerts are always sellouts.
Yeah.
Your shows are great. You're still pulling lots back in for charity, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
You stayed up here locally. You still got the love of your family, which is fabulous.
Always.
Now tell me, management, are you still with the same management, or are you changed?
Well, we're currently with management at the moment. We swapped from the initial one from Britain's Got Talent, because I think the thing is with management straight out of Britain's Got Talent is they have new acts every single year.
Yeah.
And these people in London, as many people, you know, often think, they do have a sort of shelf life for you, and they lose interest because they've got no fire, because they know the next thing's coming. So it's important for us, wasn't it, to make sure we had someone that had that sort of family value. And we've actually just been to meet a new agency, haven't we, in management. And the guy that runs it, his whole family work in the building. And we had a chat with them, didn't we? And they've got that sort of family environment. And, you know, they were pleased that mum and dad came down to the meeting, because a lot of these managers like to isolate you in London. Just me and Adam are our own. And then, like, pound you down with, you know, saying you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And it was just straight down the line.
We're getting stronger now, aren't we?
We are.
But thank goodness you've got your mum and dad who...
I know, they...
I mean, we won't go into the bad side of it. You've had a few things done to you which, really are bad. But you've got a supportive family who are clever in business and successful in their own right. So they're not going to do anything else, but they have your interest at heart.
I know. Dad's always... We would be lost without him, really, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
I mean, when we came into the industry, Dad didn't have an idea about it. None of us did. And now we've slowly started to learn as we go along what it's all about. And it is a hard industry to be in, isn't it? And we love it. We just love singing and we want to just go out and sing. But sometimes there's things along the way that can stop you and there can be problems. And without Dad, really, we wouldn't have been probably where we are today, would we?
No.
I mean, he doesn't just come on stage and sing with us, does he? He does everything for us.
We've always had a problem of being a bit soft, haven't we?
Yeah, we have always.
Yeah, but you're getting harder.
We're getting better. We're getting
I mean, I've had conversations with you in front of your folks, as you know, and told you a few bits and pieces about what's happened to me over the years.
Yeah.
We learn from that.
You do, yeah.
That's why I admire and respect you both,
it's
you know,
true.
Because you've got an army round you of nice people, great fans, very, very loyal fans.
They are
great, I've got to say. They've been amazing, haven't
and
they?
And getting excited because there's a new album out. Because you do get starved of, you know, I mean, mine's worn out. I mean, which one is it? There's one in particular. I think it was the first one.
Yeah.
It's worn out. It's just totally worn out.
It doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work on the gramophone. So you're pleased with the album?
Yeah, we are. We've gone down that classical road, haven't we? And Sony Classical are really pleased with it. So... we're looking forward to hearing everyone's reaction and hope they enjoy it as much as we have recorded it.
Why do you think, apart from the fact you're two nice-looking guys and you're young, why do you think you've done so much for the music business in this type of music? Because you've done that converting over and young people, your audience are a huge mixture of age groups.
Yeah.
Why do you think young people like it so much?
I'm not too sure. I mean, I think maybe when we went for Britain's Got Talent, I think in a way, the only reason we got onto the show myself is because we're brothers and because it's classical singing. Like, if we'd have gone on and sang something pop, I don't think it would have gone down very well. But I think because it was so different and we were two brothers singing classical music, I think people like the idea of it, that we are a family and like our harmonies and stuff, isn't it? When we sing, people always say you should always constantly sing in harmony because it sounds so nice. And I mean, we've sang in harmony with people before and it never sounds the same, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's to do with your family, isn't it? Being family, and they say there's a relation there. But I think because, like you were saying, Pete, because we're young and we've been on a TV show that appeals to the masses, I think that captivates a lot of people. And I think then when we start, you know, we start singing classical music, it also feeds over to the older generation. So I think it's give us an ability to go widespread. Like Adam was saying, if we just sang pop music, we'd only be one end of the spectrum.
There'll be many young people listening to this album won't know not even one song.
No, they won't.
No.
So it's also educating them because, I mean, they're classics. Every one are classics.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how people react. And I love the cover because the cover is you in the country style. It just works. I love the album. I see you do no wrong, always. And I think the strength you've got is the fact that you're very humble on stage. You also are very... Have you, what's the word? Have you slicked up at all? Or are you still the same?
Well, we like to sort of get the suits together and things like that.
Oh, no, I didn't mean the clothes. The clothes are always, it's a bit, Nan, shut up, I'm doing a song.
Right, I know.
Oh,
in the Philharmonic.
I know.
In terms of that one, we've worked out a process. We've managed to get Mum sitting next to her.
And pull her back a few rows, don't we?
We try not to get her on the front row because she knows the show that much. She sort of knows all the punchlines and she has a tendency to say them before.
Constantly says it though, doesn't she? They say it, the punchline over and over again, and then when we say it, no one laughs. Yeah. And we go, oh, thanks, Nan. Just killed the show.
Thanks, Nan. Yeah, she knows all the stories.
In case you wonder what we're talking about, is Richard and Adam have got a Nan that is sensational, but I sat with her in the Philharmonic and in the end moved. Sorry, Nan. In the end moved.
That's about right, Pete.
Oh, I got imagine.
But it's great. Well, I think the album's tremendous. I'm very, very excited you're back. And I think there'll be another album as well. I think you really
based.
No, I think you've got a damn good bass. Just get the right management sorted and you're flying. Any local do's they can go and see you at?
We're doing two tours are getting rescheduled, aren't they? For,
yeah, so they're in March.
March,
yeah.
Aren't they? The two Welsh dates.
There's two in Wales, isn't there? And then we've got...
a couple of things in February, isn't there, this month?
You can find out everything on Twitter, can't they, and Facebook?
Yeah, we can.
So which is the best, Facebook or Twitter?
Both.
It's on both, yeah.
On both, yeah.
And what are they?
It's Richard Nadham. And that's the same for both, Richard and Adam.
It's Richard and Adam, comes up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
straight
does.
Away, so.
I'm very excited for you. The album is called Believe, Richard and Adam. I cannot thank you enough for coming in.
Oh, thanks
for having
us, Pete, as always.
Yeah,
it's great.
So, fingers crossed the album sells.